Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Cyberpunk Lorecast, where we brave scanning the net to find all the deep history and lore of cyberpunk.
I'm Toasty, a fixer that's new to Night City with a desire to jump into the details of this gritty setting.
And I'm Genesis, an old school media tech with a love of character deep dives.
Together, we will bring you the foundations of the past, the state of Night City today, and the news of the future.
We've got incoming. Let's Delta. Welcome back, Chooms, to another episode of the Cyberpunk Lorecast. I'm your girl, Genesis, and with me, as always, is Toasty.
Hello.
Hey. What? Tonight, today, whenever this is going out, is a little bit special. We have a third with us here tonight, a guest who has quite an extensive background in cyberpunk, and you may recognize him from his Twitter profiles and the Discord servers and YouTube and everything that he puts out related to cyberpunk. Rob Mulligan, welcome on.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
We're excited to talk about your 70,000 projects.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I appreciate you having me on. It's like, speaking of 7,000 projects, you know, because of running so many things, I rarely, get the opportunity or invited to other people's happenings and platforms and fun things. And like, you know, like I'm usually just kind of stuck in the things that I'm running and doing, so I'm really happy to kind of break free for a moment and come and chat. So, you know, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Now, I remember that I saw an amazing shot of what looked to me just like really cool cosplay of David Martinez from Cyberpunk Edgerunners. And when I liked the picture and I commented on it, I was like, this looks amazing. What's going on here? And then you're like, hey, I'm doing this Edgerunners thing. Let's talk about it. So,
Yeah. I'm, aside from being a game master and running Cybernation Uncensored, which is probably where, a lot of people know me from and how we met and we interact, I also do filmmaking. So aside from that, I'm passionate about making films, shorts, episodes. I work production design, producing, directing, anything I can do on set. I'm into it. And I have lots of friends involved with that stuff too. So, a couple of that I know, Cam and Erica, they cosplayed as, David and Lucy, and, it looked amazing. And they basically did this tester short thing. They progressed their passion for it basically and did this short thing. It looked great. They got a lot of great feedback. Then they started planning out this short, which was a sort of in-between thing. So something happens in episode 3 of Edgerunners, where David runs some tiger claws off the road and the cyber bikes and stuff. So this is kind of before episode 4, The short is David basically trying to mend that bridge, basically, and not have a hit on him. So he's trying to mend that in a certain way. I don't want to give away too much, but you know, that's kind of what it is. It's a sort of little in between side arc mission or whatever, fandom short. But yeah, Cam and Erica basically planned that out and did up the script. They look great as the characters. I came on board with my wife, Val. We work as a team on numerous film sets and projects and stuff to produce, but also run production design and kind of help with things like lighting and the setting and stuff like that. And then everybody on set was all friends. We've all worked together 100 times, a great stunt team, camera work, just amazing stuff. Like you saw some of the images, just wait till you see the actual short. We should have a promo for it sometime next week, which is probably the time that this comes out. We will probably have the little 30-second promo. And then within a week or so, maybe a few weeks after that, we'll have the official short, which will be the full episode of it. And then we're going to hit up film festivals, things like that, hopefully get some awards and just put it out there for fun. But the bigger picture, obviously, with the filmmaking background is to use that as leverage, kind of showcase our talents, show what we can do, and then bridge that over to CyberNation Uncensored in the sense that, you know, we work with tons of gaming companies and products and brands to where, hey, we'd love to make promo shorts for your product or your next release, or say you have a campaign you're putting out, let us make a little short involving some of the lore of that short or a campaign or something that a gaming company is putting out or something of the like. But it's also going to lead to some possible live gameplay that crosses over to some scripted sort of visual effects and things. And again, I don't want to give away too much, but again, you know, this was something fun that'll hopefully lead to some bigger picture things that involve some more filmmaking, and not just cyberpunk, I should add. We work with tons of other companies and brands, and there's tons of other games we would love to represent or at least put out some fandoms for.
Mm-hmm. It's super cool.
It is. And like just visually, you know, and with the way that you're talking about it with such a level of passion, and obviously you've done a lot of things like this in the past, it doesn't look like something that was just thrown together. So I'm really excited to see the high quality of product that you can put out there to really bring these characters further to life. Because for me, anime is not really my thing, and a lot of the art style from Edgerunners was not really my thing. But I thoroughly enjoyed the series as a whole. And so it was the storyline that kept me really, really engaged with it. And so seeing it played out in a little bit of live action is just really going to enhance that experience for me. So I'm so excited for this.
Oh, yeah. I can relate to that, too. Like, I'm the same way. Like, I'm very selective with the anime, and I'm a bit old school. Like, you know, I love old school, like Fist of the North Star and Ninja Scroll. And my favorite is Ghost in the Shell. Like, I remember getting the VHSs at Blockbuster when I was a little kid, you know, like dating myself a bit, but you know, like I love old school anime. And then some of the newer stuff, like I can't fully get into. Like I liked Edgerunners because I'm passionate about cyberpunk. But again, like if I wasn't into cyberpunk so much, I wouldn't be like, oh, that was fucking amazing, like, you know. But because I love cyberpunk so much, and the fact that, you know, R. Talsorian, you know, Mike Pondsmith, up through CD Projekt Red, like that, all the lore is crossing over to make sense from the tabletop to the video game to Edgerunners to, yeah, I mean, I just love that. I love that so much because, like, when I GM multiple teams, I do that with my own lore just in the tabletop gaming sense. Like, I love little crossovers and, you know, guest appearances and stuff like that, whether it's an NPC or an actual player. So anyways, you know, I love the fact that it is that big. And yeah, I'm excited to, you know, see where it goes, I guess. Like, I could go on and on about the actual short and what it is, and, you know, it's stemming from the anime itself. But again, there's definitely a bigger picture here. I think this will be hopefully a springboard and a showcase to the talent and you know, the the amount of work that was put in. Not just me, you know, I was producing and, like I said, helping with production design, but just the action, the stunts, the post effects, pulling off the things that are happening. I don't want to give away too much, but when you see it, you'll know what I'm saying now. Like, when you see it, you'll be like, oh shit. Like, you know, it's going to, hopefully people will see certain aspects of it, and, you know, they'll see how directly it's involved, and I want to watch my words, but directly involved with certain lore and certain things, you know. But I'm excited to showcase it and show it off. But for me, it's the anime was cool. I love it. But again, like, I probably wouldn't be so much into it if I wasn't passionate about Cyberpunk, you know?
Yeah. That was probably would have been the same for me. I've just been steeped in Cyberpunk since 2077 dropped, for the most part. I mean, that was kind of my lead into this podcast. I wasn't even a host on it at the first. It was back when Tom and Logan were doing it, and I was a patron, and I like would come on at the end of the show just to talk about stuff. But I had binged the entire like catalog within 2 weeks, and then hopped on like right when 2077 dropped, because I was like, man, this is a cool thing. I need to learn more about this.
Nice. So, that's where I got back into it. You know, when I was a kid, I played, I first got into Advanced Dungeons and Dragons, and that was my introduction to like role-playing games and tabletop role-playing games and just the open world of that shit. And then I got into Cyberpunk when 2020 came out. The same friend that got me into AD&D was like, hey, you needed to check this out. And it was like, I was blown away. I loved the future dystopian aspect of it. So I was into Cyberpunk 2020 and role-playing that. And then there was this huge gap. And a lot of people that are into R. Talsorian and Cyberpunk, the role-playing game in 2020, even dating back from that up through Cyber Generation and things like that did happen before the 2077 drop in Red, they'll all talk about like that sort of, what's it called, like drought, or I forget what it's called, but it's like this sort of space of nothing and black hole, like where like nothing was kind of happening with Cyberpunk. And then all of a sudden you heard about this video game happening. And I remember it was me during I think it was pre-COVID and getting into like the COVID era of like everyone getting locked down and shit, where I started getting online more. And that's when I kind of saw the video game stuff, and I was like, holy shit, like I remember 2020 and Cyberpunk, and this is amazing, like what they're doing and bringing it up to 2077, and the lore is still there. Like, holy shit, there's Arasaka, and like, oh my God, like this is amazing. And then I saw Red was put out, like at the time, I think the starter kit. And I was like, holy shit, like they're putting out a new role-playing game. And it's like, I used to play 2020. Oh, this is set in 2047 or 2045, right around there. And then like 2077 is the video game, and all that lore is connected. And like from the tabletop up through into the video game, and like, I don't know, it just blew my mind. So I got back into it. For me, it was, I got pulled back in by seeing the video game stuff. And then that made me realize Red, and I got into that heavily, you know?
Yeah. Well, Red came after for me as well. Like, because what, that released the summer after 2077 dropped, I think, like pretty soon after, or was it before? I can't remember. It's been so long.
I'd have to Google that. I don't remember. I was lucky enough to get an advanced copy of Red. I hit up, when I saw all that happening, I started streaming. So, the whole COVID lockdown thing got me online more. I started seeing that you could game more, and I was like, fuck, like this is kind of cool. Like, let me see what I can do with this. And I started Cyberpunk Uncensored, which now evolved into Cyber Nation Uncensored. But, I started streaming and doing this sort of Cyberpunk 2020 / Red hybrid, because I was using kind of starter kit rules and rules that I saw from streamers online playing, that I was kind of pulling in things and then my 2020 knowledge. But through that, I ended up hitting up R. Talsorian Games. James Gray was running their media stuff, and I said, look, you know, this is my history on Cyberpunk. I started up this Cyberpunk Uncensored brand where I'm streaming. Any chance I can get, I see some of these streamers have an advanced copy of Red. Any chance I could be one of those, you know, and get a copy? And he was like, oh, I'm sorry, you know, we've already put all those out, everyone's already accounted for, and we can't really, but we really appreciate your support, maybe in the future. I was like, shit, okay, I understand. And then like literally the next day I woke up to a message like, here's a link to Red, like, and they sent me a copy. They were like, I thought about it, I looked into what you do, and you know, they just looked up some of my videos and channels and things. And I think they saw that I was quickly building a fan base. I had an honest, genuine passion for cyberpunk and a background in it. And, you know, I'm not to like sound braggy and stuff, but I'm pretty good at GMing. You know, I have pretty good stage presence and I can improv pretty well because of my background with, you know, music and filmmaking and just traveling. And, you know, I think they saw that, you know, so they, I was lucky enough to be gifted that advanced copy of Red. So I'm not sure exactly when it came out in comparison to the video game, but yeah, I got that advanced copy and I fell in love, and I've been in it ever since. That's a majority of what I stream. You know, I love dystopian gameplay, and you'll see me GM Fallout for Mad Queen, or which ended up leading over to Cybernation, or I do Dune. Because we have a good relationship with Modiphius Entertainment. I do Cyborg because I work with Free League, and hopefully I'll be coming out with a Walking Dead stream. But even drifting off on these, oh, and Studio Agate, let me give a shout out to Shadows of Asterin, which has a little bit of fantasy involved. I don't like high fantasy, elf, heavy magic stuff, but Shadows of Asterin has low fantasy, little touches in that, has that sort of vibe. And I do love that game. And I streamed a bunch of that, and I'm going to be putting out tutorials for it and stuff. But even with all these other games and passions within the GMing realm and streaming realm of Cybernation Uncensored, you'll still see like 90% of what we put out is cyberpunk related. And it's not just me, it's other awesome game masters that we have and work with, partners that have been streaming with me for, you know, the past few years now. It's just those are our roots, and that's our foundation. So it will always be known for cyberpunk and passionate about that shit 110%, you know?
Yeah. I'll have to keep an eye out for that Walking Dead thing. I've been binging the show like recently.
Oh, I fucking love it, man. I own all the comic books. I got, you know, I got into the show when it came out, obviously. Fucking love it, man. I'm excited to run the game. So one of my other game masters with Cybernation Uncensored, Raven, shout out to GM Raven. She loves Walking Dead too. She's going to be running some, she's one of my other cyberpunk GMs, runs, every Friday. Yeah, she's going to be running some Walking Dead as well. So hopefully we'll get a couple streams going. If you want to come and play, even if you want to commit even just to a short run or something, or just be one of the players, let me know. We'd love to have you.
Toasty has played like every role-playing game out there, so that's a huge invite.
Oh, man.
And I did look in the book, and it just says that Red came out in 2020. There's not exact copyright date on it, so I'd have to search the internet.
It might have been the summer before to like hype up, then, because 2077 was 2020. So
it's also confusing because like they had the starter kit drop, and then like they hyped the official Red rules, which didn't come out till a little bit later. And I don't remember exactly, but it's all around the same time, and whatever. I love it all.
Yeah, no, for sure. I wasn't, because you know, I'm the young one around here. I'm only 26, so I didn't get into like actual like tabletop gaming until like I started college, when my friend like invited me to play Exalted, and then I just kind of got into a bunch of other shit, and you know, cyberpunk just was a result of 2077 and like listening and being like, man, I'm really interested. And I saw an invite in the Discord for a game, and I was like, let me hop on in that. And now, you know, who knows, another podcast on the network, the Cyberpunked, that was their own like cyberpunk red light play. I was part of season two. Jen was in there as well, so oh, nice. You know, it was fun.
Oh yeah, was that video, you know, streamed or podcast?
Yeah, it was just podcast. All of their shows, I believe, are just podcast. So
yeah, but not a lot of our stuff is live streamed. It's very select on who actually decides to stream their podcasts. But doing those, let's see. For me, I played 2020 back in the day, in the early 2000s. I was doing that. And then kind of fell out of it for a while. I was playing D&D and 5th Ed, and got really into the high fantasy stuff for a while. And then I found – and then I was also playing The Witcher back then – the original one. So my gaming history is quite extensive. But Cyberpunk has always just held a special little place in my heart, because it was the first time that my now husband at the time was still my boyfriend. It was the first time that he DM'd for me. And so like that was like a core beginning to our relationship was the fact that he was running the Cyberpunk campaign. And it was the first time I officially gave the title of Genesis to a character. So she was an old school media tech.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yep. Cyberpunk war stories and all that.
Yeah.
So do you and your husband still play together?
We do. We have our 2-year 5e D&D campaign ended a little while ago, and we kind of put a break on things after that, because after a 2-year campaign we're like, okay, we committed, you know, that was a very long one because it was every weekend. So we don't have any current games, but we still like we'll multiplayer video games together and stuff like that.
Nice. Yeah. My wife plays with me all the time. She's got a monthly game. We actually run seats off of the Cybernation Uncensored Patreon. Anyone listening that wants to play, we run raffles for 2 seats a month to play on Team Phoenix, which is my wife's team. She plays a fixer on there. It's like a team of 3, and then they hire 2 edge runners every month to help them with a gig, is basically what the story is. So we run a one shot.
Oh, that's cool. That's
really cool. Yeah, I love it. And then she's also played another team, you know, other games and teams. She's been doing it since day one of Cybernation Uncensored, back when it was Cyberpunk Uncensored. We've met very similar, not in gaming, but when I was touring and doing music, she met at one of my shows and came to the after party and we hit it off, and then, you know, started going on the road with us, helping run our merch table and been involved with that. When we ran our collective and growing, she was right there with me and helped manage our delivery drivers, won awards with that out in LA once we moved out there from East Coast, and then got into filmmaking. Now we both do production design together. Now with Cybernation Uncensored, we game together. Like, I love, you know, couples that are just like teams, you know, that can just tackle life together and make it fun. And I don't know, I feel like you get a lot more done and you can accomplish that much more when you've got a great partner in your life, you know? So that's really cool that you met that way and you still game together.
Oh, yeah. So many of my friendships have come from gaming-related origin stories. So the fact that there are so many different communities out there, that once you find a fandom and you can get into it, like with the Cyberpunk fandom, you start to meet people and then you can learn like, oh, well, if you really liked Cyberpunk, then you might enjoy some style like this. And then you just get this whole world of sense of community that comes along with it. And that's what, sometimes it can be a toxic community and you don't want to be around those people.
Okay.
I get that too. But there are actually really good groups of people out there who police themselves to kick out those assholes. And so then once you get into that healthy environment, the gaming community can be really cool.
Oh, absolutely. That's one thing I do brag about, if it comes to something bragging, is the fact that, you know, when I founded Cybernation Uncensored, I never made it GM Rob Mulligan and just that. Like, we expanded immediately into Cyberpunk Uncensored after just streaming some games on my old music channel first, just fell in love with it. So then we instantly, you know, I want to start a brand that's a community. I want to pull in more players, more game masters, just more content, because I love watching that shit, listening to that shit, playing that shit, running it. So like, the more I can have of it, let's just do that. So instantly from day one, the plan was never to just be me, but make more of a community. And man, I am just so fucking proud at how fast and how big it grew. And yet it's still, I feel, you know, tight knit or like family. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I still know everyone in there, and we cycle in great GMs and players, and we have casting calls, and, you know, we're constantly meeting new people and stuff, but it just feels like, I don't know, like you said, it's like a really good community, and there's so many of them, you know, there's so many different like little gaming brands and communities. And if it's not a community, it might even just be like a streamer or somebody into that that has like an amazing fan base, you know? I love the ones that are just great at, you know, like you said, policing themselves and just, you know, keeping on focus. You know, that's one of the big things in Cybernation Uncensored is the fact, yes, we are uncensored, but that doesn't mean come in and start talking all this shit to people. Like, there's no racism and sexism and bigotry, and I don't want real life politics talked about. I don't care if you're right or left or whatever the fuck. Like, just everyone be nice to each other and let's talk about some fucking gaming. Let's keep on subject. The only thing is I'm like not heavily into D&D or high fantasy anymore. Like, when we started the brand, it's very dystopian. But other than that, very much so uncensored. But yeah, I love the fact that it's been easy to have that the community has policed itself and they've remained focused. You know, if somebody comes in and gets a little off topic or a little skirmish or something, I mean, happens, you know, somebody might type a little argument or a little debate or something, it never goes past like one sentence. Like, instantly people are like, hey guys, blah, blah, blah. And everyone's like, oh yeah, you know, like, it's just, it feels good to have a nice home for our gaming community and yet still have it be uncensored and I don't know, very open, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a great community to join into. And of course, we will have links to all of this in the show notes. So that way you can find them on Twitter, the links to their Discords, everything will be right there in the description of this episode for you. I think right now would be a good little spot for us to take our mid-break, and then we'll come back and chat some more.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Welcome to the middle of the show, where we talk about the show and not the lore of Cyberpunk. I don't have any new patrons to shout out. I don't have any new reviews to read out. And I don't think that we've had any recent Spotify comments either.
I don't believe so. That's all right.
But thank you to all of those of you who have done that in the past. We very much appreciate it. Please keep rating us on Spotify, giving us those stars on iTunes, leaving comments, leaving reviews wherever you listen to us. It really does help us get the show out there, and that way more and more people can find out about the Cyberpunk Lorecast. I don't think that I have anything else to add to the middle of the show. You?
Neither do I.
All right, let's get back into it. All right, welcome back to the show. So, I kind of wanted... No, Tosi and I are both experienced Cyberpunk Red players. We've even played together for a little while. But there is always that little bit of trepidation when starting out a new role-playing game. Whether you're an experienced D&D player or maybe you've ran Pathfinder for a very long time, switching over to Red, to Cyberpunk Red, was a little bit of a transition. I mean, even for me, because I was so used to a D20 system that I had to remember how to go back to a D10 system.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, at least getting into Red is so streamlined, though, compared to me, I think, and compared to like D&D and stuff. So at least if you played that, yeah, like it might be a little, you have to remember like going from D20 to the D10 system and using that, but at least there's a lot less crunch, you know? I think even though fifth edition D&D kind of streamlined D&D is kind of the idea there. That's kind of what Red did to 2020, is what fifth edition did to D&D prior editions. But yeah, it can still be a little daunting. It can be always weird getting into something new. And there's a lot of differences with getting into tabletop role-playing games if you're only into the video game. And if you have a passion for cyberpunk, I highly recommend at least trying it. But it is a little bit different because you're not just, you know, watching visuals, playing with a controller and getting into the video game. In that sense, like you use your imagination more. You might speak in the character's voice instead of in third person if you're really into role playing, which I love when players do that. We really like act out scenes. And you might get into cosplay, dressing as the character. I love that shit, you know? So, like, it is a little different, and it's more of an open world. Like, anything can happen, and you're at the mercy of the dice, right? So there is different rules and ways to use the dice and different statistics that you're using on your character sheet. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it can be a little weird to someone that's only into the video game because it's an open world, and it's weird to, you know, just get into that and truly understand it. So there's two sides to it. Like, I think first off, you know, reading the rules, learning the rules, and like I mentioned earlier on our break when we were just kind of having our side chat, we've got the tutorial series I created on the Cybernation Uncensored YouTube channel. So if you go to youtube.com/CybernationUncensored, you can see the cyberpunk complete tutorial crash course, and it'll teach you all about skill checks and combat and just all the rules and everything you need to know to play the game. And you can always reference those videos, but I recommend, you know, read the book, watch the video. It'll really set it in, and you'll know all the rules and the way, you know, how the crunch, it's called, works.
Yeah.
You know, the mathematics, right? Then the other side to it is like what I mentioned before, the role playing, the creativeness, the visualization, whether you're playing in what's called the mind's eye, where you're just imagining everything, or you're using, a tactical map or something. Maybe your game master has a map that you're using and you're going to move tokens around on it. So there's the other side to it where, you know, it just depends on your comfort zone. And a lot of time it's experience. Like, sometimes new players will get into the game, they'll know all the rules, and the GM will set up a scenario or a scene. And then maybe you'll just kind of, oh, my character is going to walk over there and, you know, they're going to open the door. They're going to do this, like speaking in third person, right? Maybe they'll start like that. But by the end of it, if they're comfortable, they'll be like, oh, what's that over there? Okay, I open the door. You know, and they start speaking like they're doing it. They'll start using their character's voice. And like, that's when you're damn it, man. You're in it. You're loving it. And that's when you really get a feel for it, and you see the beauty behind a tabletop role-playing game, which is a complete open world. You're not limited by programming. And that's not to say, like, you know, there's open worlds in video games. I totally get it. And I especially love VR and stuff like that. I used to run Virtual Reality Live, which hopefully I'm bringing back under the Cybernation Uncensored brand sometime in the near future. So look out for those streams. But even within that stuff, like I said, you're limited by some programming, even in an open world sort of game setting. And you just don't have that with a tabletop role-playing game. You can literally do anything. Now, there will be repercussions. There will be, a whole thing that might happen that you're just relying on the results of a dice roll, right? And that'll give you the outcome. The GM will explain, you know, what happens. But ultimately, you can do anything you want. It's just like living in the real world. And I think that's what's amazing about it is, you know, you get together with some friends, and you just create these amazing stories and scenes and scenarios together collectively. And man, it's crazy. It's crazy. And again, aside from the tutorials and crash courses on the Cybernation Uncensored YouTube, also check out all the gameplay. We stream all of our live gameplay. We run it all the way from our session zero, where we introduce the characters and we explain the game type and the way that we're going to play, all the way up through the end of it. Some of them are ongoing campaigns. Some are miniseries. Some videos are one shots. You'll see I run one shots where you can just watch that one video and it's run it and done. It's just from beginning to end, you're done with the mission. check that out. It'll kind of show you how to role play and how to use those rules and how to actually play. But yeah, it can be a little daunting and kind of new and weird to someone that's strictly coming from the video game realm. Yeah, highly recommend it. I don't think I've ever met anyone that was into video games or is into video games. It's not like they ever gave it up because of tabletop or vice versa, but I've never met anyone that's, you know, into video games that tried role-playing games with a good GM and good players, mind you, and have, you know, and just say, oh no, I fucking hated it. Like, you know, like I just haven't. Everyone I've met has loved both and vice versa. You know, I've met some old school people that weren't into video games, but they loved Cyberpunk 2020, and then they gave Red a chance when that came out, and then you're damn right they got into video games when 2077 came out, and they fucking loved it, you know, because they love Cyberpunk and they love that lore. And so again, like I don't think anyone coming from the video game realm, like if they love Cyberpunk, will not like converting over to tabletop role-playing games sometime and playing that.
I definitely, whenever it comes to so I've gotten to the point, because, you know, like Jin mentioned earlier, I play in so many tabletop games. It's ridiculous. It's probably an unhealthy amount. But like, it's that level of like imagination and like ability to just kind of do whatever that really, like, sometimes video games become too linear for me. Even like open world ones with lots of options, like, can still feel like, you know, I'm not able to like do the play it to the fullest that I want to get into. That was definitely kind of the vibe that from 2077 gave me before, like the big patch where they, you know, overhauled the whole like perk system and everything. It was hard to like get a replay in, you know, even though I was like, I want to replay. And it's just like, you know, so I definitely love that. And I do. Also, just big props and appreciation. I love that you put out your session zeros. Oh, yeah. I like to hear session zeros. One session zero, probably the most important session in a campaign. Absolutely. Or any game ever. But also just like, I want to hear them. Like sometimes they just jump into the story and I'm like,
look,
I want to know the details.
I started talking about. No, absolutely. I started streaming and I got into this because I fucking loved it and I couldn't get enough of it. Like I said, so I made a community to bring more in. And one thing that was lacking was fucking session zeros. Like nobody streamed them. I was like, no, I'm streaming my session zeros. Like I'm going to show how it's done. I even made I have a whole GM tips series talking about how to have a session zero that I put out years ago. And, I mean, it's just, it's important. It's important to show everything from the beginning to the fucking end. And I also don't edit. That's the other thing. Like I also, and that's nothing against people that edit. It's very entertaining. It's its own thing. I'm a filmmaker. I fucking get it. But when it comes to actual play, I want to see the actual play. That's how I ended up learning how Red kind of worked prior to getting the rules, is because I watched the very few actual plays that didn't edit out all the fucking details. And like, let me see all that. Like, if I want to see how a tabletop role-playing game is played, I don't only want to hear the story and the characters and stuff. I want to hear the players laugh and joke and tease the GM, or the one player that decided to like pull a gun on somebody he shouldn't have. And the rest of like, oh shit, you fucking do that every time, dude. And like, you hear like the players come out and then they get back into character. And like, I want to see the fun around the table. Cause that's what happens. You end up having a fun time with your friends and stuff. So anyways, yeah, I always have streamed section zeros. I stream everything. I don't edit my shit. And then aside from that, like all the GMs that come on board, it's highly encouraged. And I don't make anyone do anything that wants to come in GM for Cybernation Uncensored. Like we have a little bit of a screening process. Obviously we want everyone to be cool, you know, I don't make them do anything. Like it's uncensored, like make the game yours, GM it the way you fucking want. But I encourage them. Hey, you see, I do it. Stream your session zeros. And not one of them has said no. Not one player has said no. They all enjoy that. They love introducing their character, talking about how they came about, talking about the life path of their character and or the background of the family, and then talking about how they like to gameplay. Oh, I'm into combat a little more than role player. Oh, I'm a little more into story and mystery rather than combat. Or, you know, like, I don't know, you just learn lines and veils. Like, oh, I'm cool with violence and shit, but don't talk about violence against animals or children, you know? Like, I'm cool with you get it. So like, I don't know, session zeros are important. And when you stream that, it shows what a true actual play is, from the beginning, all the way through, you know?
Mm-hmm. You just made my game.
Are super fucking important, people.
Sorry. Yes. No. That was exactly what I was going to say.
That's a soapbox I'll get up on any day. I actually have on my computer, like, saved a, like, several copies of a consent sheet that have that I can send to any DM that I have. And I'm like, here, this is my lines and veils. I want you to have access to this.
Nice. So,
yeah.
Especially
cyberpunk.
Cyberpunk's dark as fuck. You know, it can get pretty fucking gritty and real. But no, I think it's important, not just in gameplay or around the table, so you feel comfortable. Everyone's on the same page. No one makes any one person uncomfortable, but you can still play within that realm. But I think especially with streaming, you know, like the fact that we stream and we do it live all the time. I think it's, again, even that much more important to kind of set those things. Cause, if you think it's uncomfortable to accidentally, shouldn't have said, hey, I apologize to you. Like, if you think that's uncomfortable just at the table, imagine streaming and live, how embarrassing something like that could be, or, you know, just fumbling up and I don't know, offending a friend or something. Like, so I think it's important, you know, go over at that session zero and just, you know, at least be uncensored, but have some limitations and shit, you know, like there's no need to hurt people's fucking feelings or make anyone uncomfortable, you know?
Yeah. People are ever changing, you know, things. People are going through things at this time that maybe wouldn't have bothered them before, or bothered them, you know, that they've grown out of it, or, you know, have gotten healed from things that it doesn't. So like, that is a thing to always be considerate of, is, you know, you never know what someone's going through at the moment. Stuff like that is very important. So,
oh yeah, exactly.
My heart.
Sorry, I need to get off soapbox. I can't do it, man. Oh man.
No, it is very important, and especially in Cyberpunk, where we have the yo-yo gangs. You know, those are definitely some people's lines. Like, okay, I don't want kids involved in my gameplay at all, and that can definitely affect the way that you DM the game.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff with Cyberpunk because it is a future setting. You know, it's just, it has, you know, all kinds of, it was almost like kind of leading into what now has been happening with transgenderism. I mean, this has been kind of preaching the future of that since 2020. Like, you can augment your body, there's augmentations, and you can kind of become other things and like role play that out and play it, and like, it's accepted. It's this future world where things have expanded and boundaries have expanded, and you know, you accept it and you live within it, and you still have the same crazy violences and fun and adventures and things. It doesn't affect any of that. Like, you're still having, you know, the baseline of the role-playing game just like you would in D&D or any other setting, right? But to me, Cyberpunk, yeah, it absolutely needs more of a section zero, because it's more of an open world, it's much bigger, it's futuristic, and it's kind of, its foundations are set in our realities, in the sense that you're playing humans like in a world that's supposed to be like our Earth in this other timeline, right, that has evolved. There's this whole timeline of what Cyberpunk is, right? But it's still within Earth in America, and it's still, you know, the world, you know, not just America, but I'm saying that because that's where Night City is based out of, right? But you get it. So like, I don't know, like, absolutely, you need that session zero. You have to set those boundaries, because otherwise you could offend somebody, you could step on some toes, because everything is there. Everything is fucking there and possible, you know?
Yeah. It's part of the big appeal out of that too.
Absolutely. That's why I love it. It's just so fucking crazy, you know? And like, and it's without, and it's in the foundations being in reality, I think, is what's so appealing to me, is that, you know, I grew up getting first into role-playing games through Dungeons and Dragons, you know, and then I really got into it in the second edition of AD&D. But man, when I got into Cyberpunk, when I saw that, it just had such a relatable feel because of it having foundations in reality. You know, there's no elves and crazy magic stuff. And that's why I also, not to offend anyone that might be into it, but I'm not fully into Shadowrun. I don't like to mix it, even though I do like my peanut butter with my fucking chocolate. Like, I will mix some things in life. I do not like to mix my Cyberpunk with my D&D. I don't like my crazy sci-fi sort of end of spectrum dystopian stuff mixed with my fantasy, you know. I'll draw the line, like I said earlier, with Shadows of Asterion, which has some fantasy, some light druid style magic things and miracles through your god. And there's some things and like these weird demon creatures, but it's not heavy, heavy fantasy, not a lot of magic and elves and things like that. And then same with sci-fi. I don't like to push it so far to where it's just nonstop, like spaceships and aliens and universes. And like, I don't want to go so sci-fi. And that's not to say that we won't stream some Alien or Star Trek and things like that. Like, I'll enjoy that stuff in doses in certain things, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't want to fully commit. Like, I'm still grounded in realities, and that's why I love cyberpunk so much. And I love like Fallout. You know, speaking the series just fucking
came out, yeah,
is amazing. You know,
fucking and I love incredible series.
And I love the role playing game. We've streamed it. Shout out to Modiphius Entertainment, and I ran a game on Mad Queen's channel before she ended up quitting the whole cyberpunk game and streaming stuff, and it moved over to Cybernation Uncensored. But again, like that was pushing the limits, you know, having like super mutants and ghouls and like, you know, but it's kind of fantasy. It might not be what you think of traditional like D&D elves and magic fantasy, but it's still pushing those limits outside of reality to where like I can still relate to it. It's like this sort of radiated atomic, like dystopian future version of our reality. But again, like I don't have to do that with cyberpunk. Cyberpunk is so grounded in like, fuck, this could happen. Like, this is where we're headed. Or like, you know what I mean? Like, you can totally like relate to it and like just dive in, and it's so immersive. Like, I fucking love it.
The data crash of 94 and then the split from there, it still feels real. Even though this is like a whole alternate history, the fact that we can follow that alternate history, and like we've said, you know, it goes from all of the different role-playing books, all that lore is a continuation. Very little of us has ever had to be retconned or gone back and been like, okay, we actually don't hold that as canon anymore. Even the little lore bits from the trading card game are considered canon. And it's like, I love that so much.
That's to me, that's the fucking love it or hate it, right? That's the different sides to the same coin thing. I don't, you know, let's think of some more like cliche statements and creative ways to put this. But ultimately, it's, you know, what people fucking, they complain about. They're like, it's taking forever for the fucking video game to come out. And then, yeah, of course, it's going to have some glitches. All games do. But between, and then people in the tabletop role playing, they'll complain about our Talsorian games. Oh, we want more Cyberpunk Red campaigns and content. Like, they put out the Book of Red. They put out these different supplements and things for the tabletop, but it takes time. And when I talk to the actual like creators of the game, like I've met them at cons, I talked to them online, we've had them on interviews, I've streamed with them, you know, we've run charities together, it's very simple. It's because all of it crosses over, all that lore is connected. It is this huge fucking masterpiece, and you have to love it. You have to love that. And because of that, you have to accept the fact that things are going to take time. It takes time because they have to run it by each other. Well, actually, we're working on this fucking side arc for this future video game of, you know, where Cyberpunk is going to go, and it's going to cross over to this. And like, oh, okay, well, on the tabletop, then we can't have this happen because that'll affect you on the video game. And that would make sense to the past lore. And like, I just love the fact that it is that this masterpiece where you can follow it all the way back from the beginning, all the way through tabletop into the video game to the TV stuff. Like, it all fucking makes sense, and it all is connected, and it all just, like, I don't know. It's just, like I said, it's a masterpiece, and it's why I love it. It's why, like you said, you love it. It's why a lot of people love it and appreciate the fact that it takes time to release things. But on the other side of it, man, I see so many fucking people complain and bitch about things taking time. But like, if they just fucking kicked it out and stuff, like, and it wasn't all connected, it wouldn't be such a masterpiece, and you couldn't bounce around from it. And like, I don't know, it just wouldn't be such a beautiful thing in my, in my mind, you know?
That's always been, I mean, 'cause obviously I do podcasts that cover the like two major things from both R. Talsorian and CDPR, you know, Witcher and Cyberpunk. And it's like, it is because those games are done with such like specific, like crafted detail and like adherence to the lore and adherence to the characters that they have made and who they are as people and all of that, that makes them and like so enjoyable. That's why, you know, these games are so good. It's why I can still play, you know, The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt, goddamn 10 years later and still get a fulfilling experience out of it, you know, like because of stuff like this, like the time and love that they put into these games. So yeah, like I get that completely. And I've always said, I don't mind waiting for a game if when it comes out, I'm like playing a super good game or a masterpiece. Doesn't yeah. matter how long it takes. So
exactly. We would rather wait an extra 6 months to a year to have the game that the developers want us to have rather than the people who are only focused on the dollar say game needs to be released now.
Right. Exactly. No, and it's funny because like some of the gaming companies, I mean, not some, all of them, right? Like all of them get bullied by their fan base when they're releasing the games. Yes. And there are people that fucking love the game and they want it. And then they'll bully the shit out of the company and developers about when's it coming out, this and that, and like pushing it. And, oh, why are you pushing the date back? And this, oh, it's never coming out. And fuck this. And talking all this shit. Oh, the video, is that real actual gameplay? Is that like some cinematic shit? Like it's just all this fucking toxic energy, and then when it finally comes out and they bully the company to kind of push dates and stuff, they complain about glitches or something else, and it's like, you can't have your fucking cake and eat it too. Please do some critical thinking, take a deep breath. It's a game. You're gonna love it more if you let them do their fucking jobs, and once it comes out, it'll be this beautiful masterpiece, and it'll still have fucking glitches. It's still gonna have issues like everything fucking does. You don't know what it's truly gonna do until it hits the fucking market and you see everyone's combinations of systems and way that the gameplay and every little fucking centimeter of the game, you know what I mean? Like game is covered yeah. and like, it's still going to happen. So like, I don't get why people get so fucking aggressive and toxic and complain. And it's not a majority of the scene by any means. If you look at the numbers of sales and stats versus the numbers of complaints and like actual like forum posts and you know what I mean? Like thousands of comments versus millions of fucking sales, right? But it's always the loudest voices that get heard the most, isn't it? Like they're always the ones kind of bullying and pushing the hardest and like forcing fucking just bad shit to happen. Like I'm glad that Artasori and CD Projekt Red at least like fucking took their time. I mean, even if it did take a really fucking long time, but at least they did, because I do appreciate like what you mentioned earlier, like the epic fact that the lore crosses over, and it's been like that since fucking like when did the game come out, like in the 90s or whatever, the original tabletop role playing, like this shit was fucking conjured like Arasaka,
right? It was,
they were like, yeah, 88, I think it was 88, like the original Cyberpunk, or when was it? I have to Google that, but yeah, so like, you know what I mean, I got into 2020 and 90s, but yeah, it was like 88 or something, but it's amazing, you know, all the way up till now, 2024, and like the video game crossing over in the future of it. And then even making edge runners, like I said, with actual lore from like Arasaka and stuff. Like it's just, it's amazing.
Yeah. And the details they put into edge runners too. Ugh.
Oh, yeah.
I know people said, like, I think people gave it a lot of shit, but it was really cool to be like, oh, like I've been to that place. Like I've stood in front of that building. Like that was magical. Like to watch an anime and just be like, you know, I've been there. I've spoken to this person before, you know, like it was awesome.
Been in that building. Oh, yeah. I've even the freaking crosswalks, like, because you know exactly what the crosswalk in Cyberpunk looks like. And so then you see that in Edgerunners and you're like, the detail is so good.
It's awesome. Oh yeah. No, it's great. I love it. Like I said, I think no matter what CyberNation Uncensored expands to, no matter what games, me just as GM Prop Mulligan, whether it's with them or with, you know, other brands or whatever, I think no matter what I get into or the brand gets into or the community expands to, we will always have a foundation and a majority of what we do based on Cyberpunk. It's just too much of why this all started for me, why CyberNation Uncensored, like I said, started as Cyberpunk Uncensored. It's just why we're here, why the community is here. And it's what we all fucking love. It's our passion when it comes to this gaming stuff. And like I said, it's not to say we don't love other brands and genres and games, and we do dabble in them, and I love streaming them, and we will continue to do more. But again, like, it's cyberpunk, it's our roots, you know.
Mm-hmm. All right, I think that's a great spot for us to kind of wrap it up for the evening. So if there's anything that you want to shout out or plug or your last little wrap-up bits here for the night, what do you got?
Hell yeah. Yeah, I think the main thing I want to push is check out Cybernation Uncensored on all social networking platforms. We have a really active Discord community with regular casting calls. And then Cybernation Uncensored on Patreon. Like I said, we have seats available to play. We run monthly raffles where you can come play. Just an amazing community and lots of gameplay. So I think that's the main thing I want to push is just wherever you see Cybernation Uncensored, please give a like, give a follow, give a subscribe, join, come network, meet the community, and then come play with us. We would love that.
Sounds great. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
And please, of course, go follow us on Twitter at CyberpunkLore and on Patreon.com/CyberpunkLoreCast. If you'd like to hear more from me, you can find me on the Two Girls, One Ship podcast, where we analyze, rate, and review all that the world of video game romances has to offer, and on Scyther Audio's newest fan-made production, The Avengers, an audio drama, where you can find me and several of my podcasting friends.
And if you want to hear more from me, you can check out the Witcher Lorecast that I do with my co-host Ben, as well as the now-finished Cyberpunk Red Live Play podcast, Cyberpunk apostrophe D, than I did with the Fumbling for an Almighty Crit Gang that Jen was also on.
Yes. And at the end of every episode, we shout out Miracle of Sound and thank him for allowing his music to be used. We use snips and clips from the Neon Red instrumental remix. Thank you, Gav, for being amazing. And while you're out there,
stay safe in Night City.
Do you love Dragon Age? Have you always wanted to learn more about its vast world and detailed lore? Are you still attached to your hero of Ferelden, even a decade after Dragon Age Origins came out? Or maybe you're a newer fan, still discovering a new tidbit or quest every day.
Well, either way, the Dragon Age Lorecast is the podcast for you. I'm Austin, also known as Teacup.
And I'm Shelby, also known as SheCup.
And come and join us as we embark on a journey to explore and discover all things Dragon Age.
We'll discuss all kinds of topics, from Lyrium to the Chantry and the great mysteries of the old gods, and even more that even you BioWare superfans might not know about.
So come and listen on Spotify, Apple, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcast. And always remember,
swooping